Very good. Well, let's get into our Bible study in the book of Revelation, chapter 17. And again, you do notice, of course, that we are winding down in our study. And praise the Lord for that. To say how long we have, it's hard to say because these last few chapters, there's a lot in them. But I do want you to get the lessons. If you don't have them, this lesson is entitled The Abolishment of Babylon, lesson number 33. Does anybody need that? Lesson 33. All right. There is one. No others. We've divided this dealing with Babylon into the natural chapters in Revelation 17 and 18. And it is a pretty natural division there. Chapter 17 talks about ecclesiastical Babylon. That's just a fancy way of saying the religious side of Babylon. And then economic Babylon is chapter 18 and deals with the financial end, the money, the industry, the system that is the financing of everything, I suppose you could put it. And that would include politics, that would include all of that. So Babylon, of course, we've traced it back to the Tower of Babel, but it's really as old as the devil himself. It's a system that hates God. And really, when you recognize, when the Bible talks about the world cosmos, it is talking about a system that hates God. It is the devil's system. And it is opposed to everything that is godly, everything that is God. And when the Bible says, love not the world, that's what it's talking about. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, it's talking about people. It's talking about us. And so, again, we recognize there is a system called the world that is represented by this city called Babylon. And the Tower of Babel is where man got together and joined together, unified, really against God, building a tower to reach to heaven. And all of that being understood as a system that hates God. And I think we all understand that. So as we but the thing that even caught John off guard as God is revealing this to him is the idea that Babylon, part of it, and a huge part of it, called the Great Whore, called Mystery Babylon, you know, that part is a church. It is a religious side of the world. And we, of course, we struggle. We think, well, religion, that's all beautiful, it's all great. And certainly Babylon wants you to think that. Certainly the world system wants you to think that. Jesus is very, very, very narrow. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so anything else is false. That is what we have to... Anything else other than Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Anything else is error. It's false. And in fact, it's wicked. It's vile. We have a hard time today because we've been sold on this idea that, well, all religion's good and everything. Well, that's what caught, even John was caught off guard with that. He wondered at Babylon being a religious organization, religious group, or groups, I guess I should say. So we've kind of gone through that as we've come to verses 7 to 18. But let's go ahead and go through our verse again in Revelation 18, verse 2. And again, what a great description of Babylon. And let's go ahead and say the verse, the reference, the verse, and then the reference again. And again, this is a great verse, just really giving a good description of Babylon. All right, let's go ahead and say that together and begin. Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18:2. And again, Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18:2. Father, please guide us now as we study your word. We need your help. We recognize the blessing of having the precious words of God that you want us to learn today, but we also know we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And so I pray you'll do that today and teach us some things, and may our lives be different because of this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we stopped at verse 10. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Again, worldwide kingdoms that we've talked about as we studied Daniel. We talked about with the image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. He was the head of gold and being the Babylonian nation. And there were seven world powers that the Bible talked about, and we have covered these often, especially five of them that we recognize. We do go with Egypt and Assyria as well. They were world powers before Babylon. And so we have Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece, all right? And those are five of the kings in verse 10. There are seven kings, five are fallen. Then he says one is, well, that is the Roman Empire at the time of God revealing this to John. And so that one, the Roman Empire, it is. And then it says, and the other is not yet come. When we studied Daniel, we call that the revived Roman Empire. And that is represented in the image that the king saw as the feet, which are mingled with iron and clay. And again, when we studied that years ago, the iron and the clay, iron, of course, is very strong. Clay is not so strong. And in the mingling of the two is definitely not that strong. And so we drew a lot of conclusions there. But that's talking about what we're calling the revived Roman Empire, which will take place during the time of the tribulation. So again, when it says the other is not yet come, obviously John is referring to how God is revealing to him the future, but obviously that had not taken place yet. And as far as we know, that has still not taken place, though we see some signs of that in our day. We certainly can't definitively say, okay, this is definitely that day. We don't know that. Could be another 1,000 years. I don't think it will be, but it could be. So we don't know. So that one is yet to come. But then it says that the other is not yet come. That is a revived Roman Empire. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And so when he comes, he's going to continue a short space, this revived Roman Empire. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven. So he comes out of the seven. Again, this whole picture is world kingdoms that are without God, world kingdoms that are not godly kingdoms. They are kingdoms that man has set up, and they are seven, and they are world powers. And so the one, the revived Roman Empire, has not taken place yet. But again, there were 10 toes in Daniel. There have been 10 horns in Revelation. And so the Bible kind of explains that. It says in verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And so, again, the beast is, the Bible says he, the beast, is the eighth world power. And so the Antichrist, we will have to recognize, he will have world power as the eighth world power. But the reference back to the 10 horns, the ten kings that have received no kingdom as yet, they do receive power during the tribulation. Sometime during the tribulation, those 10 with the beast, they will give all their power to the beast, and they will become one for about an hour. Now, when we study Daniel, we realize three are executed one way or another, and we recognize, obviously, you can't trust the devil and his crowd, and they can't trust each other, and what a mess that is all going to be. So these 10 with the beast are united. They will give their power to the beast. Verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now you have to understand, you know, this is going to happen fast, and it is a world power. And to me, the solution or the key to that is they have one mind. They have one mind. You know, if we could just, Dale and I were talking about this before Sunday school this morning. We were talking about, you know, if we could just get the one mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And if we would all just get plugged into the mind of Christ, we could accomplish great things. I mean, this evil alliance, they have one mind. You know, and that's a message in and of itself. It should be a challenge to all of us, and that is, hey, let's all get a hold and let God get a hold of us, and let's get a hold of God, and let's get one mind. Honestly, let's unite together and get one mind to get souls saved and lives changed and preach the word and take our stand for the cause of Christ and not back down. Amen. That's one mind. Well, they have one mind, and it's very obvious what that one mind is, and that is we hate God. They are unified under the banner of we're against God and we're going to bring God down. They have one mind. They're going to give their power. What's that mean? Their military, their strength, their wealth, their allegiance, whatever, their armies. They are going to give their power, their strength to the beast, thus making him that world power. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Praise the Lord. But again, let's understand, they will make war with the Lamb. They will unite. This will be the best they can do. And obviously, we know at the Battle of Armageddon, it's going to be not really much of a battle. Amen. It's amazing. We come riding in on our white horses out of the sky, and we aren't going to have to do anything. He'll take care of it all. But the point is, this allegiance will take place. Now, we see all this happening, but we've seen it happening over the years. Again, the world system, the Babylonian mentality of, okay, we're going to corrupt religion. We're going to have a corrupt religious system that'll worship a small g god or small g gods. And we'll have this religious system, and it will draw its own power. And at the same time, it'll be like a two-headed monster. We will have the economy. And by the way, this religion, it will be like a prostitute, like a harlot, which is what God calls it. And it will cause with sexual impurity like that, it will influence people and nations and kings, and will deceive and will draw its own power. In the meantime, we'll have the other side of this, the Babylon, which is the economy and its worldwide trade and its financial centers and all of the wealth and military and all of that. And we'll have that side. And then, obviously, that'll all be against God and God's people, and has been for many, many years. You know, what is our biggest battle right now? Well, what is the Christian's biggest battle? It depends where you are, because we have Christians in other countries who are literally fleeing for their lives because their heads are being chopped off. That is a religious battle. They're only having their heads cut off because they refuse to believe a false doctrine, and it's been that way for years for Christians. It's interesting, you know, you read the spin of the media, and, well, you know, Christians have taken lives before too. No. I use that term very loosely when you talk about Christians. We, our kind of Christian, hadn't done that. We don't take lives. That didn't, soul winning is not you will get saved or we'll blow your brains out. That's not soul winning. We know nobody can be saved that way. And so, again, yes, I understand Roman Catholicism in the name of Christianity has, but they took Christians' lives, saved people's lives. Of course, you don't read about that in the history books today. The point is, they give their power to the beast, and what we have to do is we have to consider these 10 as military, political, governmental. They are leaders. They are government leaders, not necessarily religious, not necessarily. Again, the two seem to be running together here. And then it's very interesting. These will make war with the Lamb. The religious side, the ecclesiastical side of Babylon, which we're still talking about, it is not destroyed by God. It is not that part of Babylon, because notice what it says. It says in verse 16, "The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled." And so, very, very clearly, God has taken their hatred and their bitterness. I mean, you have to understand, again, when we look at the two sides of Babylon, the one side being kings, kingdoms, politics, money, the other side being religion. Well, religion often, and again, I'm not talking about Christianity as trusting Christ. I'm talking about just religion. Religion often has burnt the politics side and has affected the financial side. And now all of their hatred toward these big churches and everything, it's gonna come out. All false religion now, you have to understand, the 10 horns, they shall hate the whore, and the war has begun, and it'll be a terrible thing sometime during the tribulation. And notice verse 17: God put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the. You know, God's in control of everything, folks. And I know during the tribulation, and some of the things we've talked about and we've read about in the scripture, we have to wonder, boy, what is, God is in control. He always is in control. And so somehow, some way, the religious side that is called the great whore, the mother of harlots, the mystery Babylon, somehow that side is betrayed by the beast and his 10 kings. And this system, just like all men, is deceived and devoured by Satan. Satan has his plan. And he'll use anyone, he'll use anything to accomplish his plan. He didn't care how much destruction. He didn't care. Being a pastor as long as I have now, I've watched life after life after life. The devil does not care. He doesn't care how bad it turns out. He doesn't care who is destroyed. He doesn't care if children are destroyed. He is against God, and he does all he can to cause havoc and catastrophes all around the lives of mankind. And we're going to see the whore, the mystery Babylon, that side that is the religious side, we will see in the tribulation, it will be devastated. Churches will be destroyed. Temples will be blown apart. All of that will take place because he's done. He's the deception of religion has sucked many into hell. And so his purpose is fulfilled. He needs the armies. He needs the money. He needs the financial side of Babylon. And he doesn't. He no longer needs the religious side. And it will be devastating. It really will. Let's go ahead and have the ushers come, and we'll receive our offering. If you do want to give toward the chair, make sure you mark something somewhere so that we know it's for the class, for the chair, and that'll be good. We could kind of track it that way. Very good. I'm going to keep going. Again, let's recognize that John was surprised. He wondered at the whore. He wondered with great admiration. Verse 6, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Boy, more godly people and more of God's people have been massacred in the name of religion than by far politics it's not even close. And when I saw her, he said, I wondered with great admiration. Again, just because this is a religious side that is evil, that hates God. The Bible talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It is happening all over the world. The religious side. Well, you know, as long as they're religious, they're good. That's not what God says. And by the way, that's the same with you and I. Just because we're religious, that doesn't make us saved. Just because you're religious, because you go to church, doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you get baptized, doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you work in church, doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you teach Sunday school, doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you say that you're a Christian, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You have to be born again. That's what makes us a Christian. There is nothing else that can. Again, Jesus made it very clear. I am the way. Amen? There is no other way. Well, we'll start on Roman numeral 2 next week, economic Babylon. And I think, again, as you stop and you think about our world as we've known it for the last 50 years even, you see a religious power, you see a financial power, And certainly you recognize that there's evil in both sides of that is against God and going a totally different direction. I mean, we're under attack. I mentioned Christians in the world are literally, they are fleeing for their lives with religious persecution. Not just the Muslim nations. Other nations have persecuted Christians to death. And it's happening in our world. But on the other side of that, we're facing all kinds of political persecution that we haven't even thought about. I mean, honestly, there are so many areas that we are having to fight on. And right now, the biggest area has to do with the rights, civil rights, and giving civil rights to the homosexual crowd, transgender. In other words, a man says that he thinks he's a woman, therefore he ought to be able to be treated like a woman, which means using women's shower facilities and restrooms. And you say, preacher, nobody, it's happening all over America. And laws are being made. And laws are being made where if you have a business, it's happening with businesses refusing to do same-sex weddings, business, you know, wedding cakes, pictures, all kinds of things like that. And you say, well, you know, praise the Lord, that doesn't affect us. Are you kidding? And in Houston, Texas, 5 pastors have been required to turn over their sermon notes that were against one of those bills that was brought on by a lesbian mayor of Houston, Texas. I haven't heard anything new. I just know there was a request for their sermon notes. A subpoena, that's correct. And it is a legal, and you say, yeah, but you know, that isn't gonna, folks, I'm telling you, this is one battleground. Satan has a lot of places politically, and that's why we tell you over and over again, you need to vote with the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We need to be wise, and God said, if you lack wisdom, ask. And we have little voter guides down there. It doesn't tell you how to vote. It just tells you how where people stand. You need to be wise. We need to be wise. And we need to understand that our wallet's not the most important thing. This book's the most important thing. Amen. Father, we love you. Help us, God, to give glory to you with our lives. Help us to stand no matter what. And God, to be what we need to be for your sake and for the cause of the gospel. And I pray that no matter what happens, we'll just keep proclaiming the truth that Jesus saves all over our city and all over our county. And I pray, God, that as this battle rages, that we would not hate, for example, the homosexual crowd, but God, that we would give them the gospel so they could be saved. Again, may we recognize they're really not the enemy. The devil, his crowd, the world system, that's the enemy. And precious souls need to be saved. So please help our hearts to be tender toward giving out the gospel. And bless our service this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.